Fanning the Flame with the Spark of Faith by David Brant Berg.
There's nothing like God's Word in times of personal crisis. Faith comes by hearing the Word. I was down physically and nervously, and almost totally embroiled in physical things, and I came closer to collapse physically and nervously and spiritually than I have in years. But that wasn't the Lord's fault. It was my own fault. I overdid. I abused my body. I didn't stay in the Spirit, and in this specially trying time, I should have lived more in His Word. I don't think I've ever been as weak as I've been a few times lately. I've really had a battle. Now I know how people feel when they have nervous breakdowns. Drinking all that coffee exhausts your adrenaline system so that when you need it, you don't have it, and it's too much of a strain on your heart burning up so much energy. Adrenaline is like the fuel, and your body is like the furnace. You're dumping fuel on the fire immoderately, and then all of a sudden, you run out of fuel. Exercise is good for your heart and for your blood and breathing, because it takes part of the load off the heart. But if you overdo physically during stressful times, physical exhaustion can set in on top of the nervous exhaustion, and you have neither the nervous nor physical energy to keep you going. God has provided these energy systems, but if you exhaust both of them, you have no reserve. It's like driving a tired horse by whipping it. The horse may keep running for a while, but pretty soon, he just completely gives out and collapses. The Lord has put a warning system in your body, that little feeling of apprehension that something is wrong. You're worried, and you don't even know why. What's coming on is depression. You have a feeling of being very discouraged and depressed, morose. Under these circumstances, fears and worries can become overwhelming, and everything just looks like a mountain. There is an immense amount of strain on your body, your mind, and your spirit. But God's Word tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to be temperate in all things, and let our moderation be known to all men. So often, if it were not for that spark of faith, you just flicker out. But that spark of faith fans the flame. It's like God blowing on the little ember and bringing it back to life again. It comes so much through hearing God's Word. Even encouraging words of one of His children can fan the flame, because you have faith in them and their word. As is told of the woman at the well and the men of Samaria in John 4, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified. Then later it says, many more believed because of His own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Taking action to live your faith. You can't face a needy situation without doing something about it if you're conscientious. You can't just pass by the poor man on the road to Jericho. You must take action like the Samaritan did. Christians are meant to be activists. People so often say, I'm so sorry, how sad, in response to situations. But we are called to put our compassion into action. That's the difference between pity and compassion. Pity just feels sorry, whereas compassion does something about it. Jesus had compassion upon the multitudes and healed all who were sick. You have to have conviction or you can't live. And then you have to do something about your conviction, or you'll silence the voice of conviction and deceive yourself and become blind. So you don't even feel the conviction anymore. Did the mob who had seen the miracles of Jesus and had eaten the loaves and the fishes have to cry, crucify Him, crucify Him, just because the religious leaders were doing this? These were the people who heard His message themselves, and when it came to a showdown, they made their choice and rejected it. They could have followed Jesus like others did. But when you reject the truth, then you have nothing left to believe but the lie. That's the one sin God won't forgive. He'll forgive every sin in the book, except for rejecting Jesus. This is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, which is Jesus. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. There's nothing that tears you apart and tears you down quicker than indecision. The most uncomfortable place in the world is on the fence, torn between the two. You feel better after making a decision, even if it's the wrong one. I had become so torn apart by indecision because I hadn't obeyed God in the first place. And the longer you put off making a decision, the harder it gets, and the more confused you become. As I walked down that street in the rain, I felt about as dark and gloomy as the day, and I was so confused. If you don't receive and obey the truth, you can wind up in utter confusion. I was asking the Lord, "What's right? What's wrong, Lord, in this situation?" And I literally acknowledged to the Lord, "This decision has got to be made on the basis of your Spirit and truth. I can't lean to my own understanding. I here and now acknowledge you. You've got to direct my path, which way my feet are going to go. And you've got to show me the truth like it is, Lord. I've got to have a spiritual conviction about this." The minute we made the decision and began to obey, God did all the rest. Praise the Lord. Praise God for His mercy. He even causes the wrath of man to praise Him. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.